Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Showdown of the top two teams in the NBA's Eastern Conference. And, John, Pistons made a statement.
Yes, they did. A very emphatic statement.
Yeah, not bad for a nice little basketball team. Detroit won by 30 points. It was their largest margin of victory of the season. This one meant a little more, and they played accordingly. They outworked the Knicks. Look at the battle on the boards. Look at the blocks and the steals and the hustle stats. Look at what our star player did compared to their star player. Cade Cunningham was lethal. He was in control. He involved his teammates. Jalen Brunson finished with the same number of assists as John and I did.
Mm-hmm.
Zero. He was hounded all night by Asar Thompson. And as soon as you think you can catch your breath and Asar leaves the game, in comes Ron Holland to pressure the basketball. They played intense from the jump, and they didn't let their foot off the gas. And they actually stepped on the gas in the fourth quarter to tack on a few extra points, just so there's no doubt who the best team in the East is. John, that's the statement they made.
Well,
they're the beast in the East. The best team in the East is the Pistons.
And hats off to JB and the players as well. I'm sure the conversation at the end of the third quarter going into the fourth was, hey, we've been here before. Remember this in the playoffs last year where we had these leads going into the fourth and then they evaporated and you eventually lose. Or you need late game heroics. Let's eliminate that possibility. And quite honestly, at halftime, they're up 10.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't even feel like it was that close.
No.
They just simply controlled it from start to finish.
And think about it. Pistons were playing on a back-to-back without...
Yep.
Jalen Duren, Tobias Harris, and Caris LeVert. Didn't look like they were shorthanded. Didn't look like they had some tired legs. It looked like they had a point to prove. And I think everybody should be paying attention to what they did last night. We called it the unofficial kickoff, tip-off of NBA season, of basketball season. Yeah, man. You should be paying attention to these Pistons. Because they're a lot of fun. They play hard. And they win.
And they've only lost that one back-to-back. And that was that was game four, and it was against Cleveland.
Yeah, most NBA teams lose the back-to-back. The Pistons are 6-1 on the second leg of a back-to-back. They don't take nights off. They're worthy of your time. If you're some of these fans who have been turned off by the NBA, I get it. I'm not going to fight you on it. But the Pistons play a different brand of basketball. It is not what you see night in and night out in the NBA.
How much stock do you put into, obviously, young teams learning throughout the course of the season? They obviously learned a lot last year. And in January, hey, they flipped the switch and all of a sudden become a playoff team. But I just mentioned that back-to-back that they lost to Cleveland. And we had talked about it briefly because it was in the middle of football season.
Yeah.
But it was lethargic. They didn't look like, you know, and we had talked about, hey, this is a young team. Yeah, they're aggressive and their style of defense. They're a fast-paced team. How much of that moment do you think that they have learned from and been able to utilize in some of these other back-to-backs?
They've certainly learned a lot of lessons in a short amount of time.
The numbers say it. I just don't know if you're looking at one, quote-unquote, data point. And how much can that translate to everything else that you've seen throughout the course of the year? Or was that just simply a one-off? Right now, it's a one-off.
Yeah, I mean, that's the anomaly. They show up every night. And look, and if the Knicks didn't take it seriously, shame on them.
Well, I don't know how they couldn't take it seriously.
Well, it's you know, the postseason, and you know, we didn't have Josh Hart, and we're on the road. Dude, that's a measuring stick moment. There are a few games that stand out more than others in the NBA regular season. When you get two teams at the top of a conference going, shot for shot, toe to toe, and your will gets broken the way the Knicks' will was broken in that game. Yeah, man. Like, if you have any pride, you got to fight through it. And they didn't want to outwork the Pistons. You would not outwork that team last night.
No, and okay, when you win that game, like we heard from JB, who says, it's one of 82 games.
Yeah.
That's the response you can have after you've just dominated your opponent in that game. And you move on. Mm-hmm. But what was at stake in that game? Certainly, it's not definitive of what will happen in the postseason.
No.
It does give you maybe an indication. But for the Pistons... And the Knicks, like just hanging around. The Knicks losing that game, they lost a spot. The Celtics jumped them.
Yep.
You know, they're at 3.5 behind the Pistons, and the Pistons directly had a chance to create a little bit more distance between them and somebody else that's in contention for the Eastern Conference.
So, look, Piston fans, if you're at that game, crowd was into it. It was a hell of a game to go to. If you were watching, if you're starting to pay attention, we want to hear from you. 248-539-9797. John, you had that question.
Yeah, I mean, now that the Lions season is over and we don't have a dog in the fight, we also don't have one in the college football playoffs. Football season locally has ended. Mm-hmm. Is this the unofficial start to your basketball season?
Yeah, are you in on basketball? And this could be Pistons, but it could also be Spartans and Wolverines, who are both playing phenomenal too.
Yeah, because there's a lot of really good basketball. If you haven't been paying attention, you're just jumping in right now.
Cool.
Hey, Michigan, number one in the, was it the AP poll?
Undefeated.
And Michigan State, number nine in the AP poll. Coming off a good win last night against USC.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden the Pistons, hey, they are starting to create some distance between them and some of the other teams in the Eastern Conference. They are currently in first place.
Yeah, we're going to be talking more about the Pistons. We want to know that you guys are on board. 248-539-9797. Have you guys flipped that switch? Are you in basketball mode now? Look, Cade right now is the best player in the Eastern Conference. And I believe only Luka and SGA have better odds to win the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Pistons are the number one team in the Eastern Conference, led by the best player in the Eastern Conference. And it's not like they're a one-man show. They come at you in waves. They're deep. They defend. They outwork you. Points in the paint. Blocks. Steals. Offensive boards. Duncan Robinson grabbed an offensive board last night. I'm like, he's getting to the glass. Forget about it.
Yeah.
Game over. And I thought the second unit, Ivy playing with Danis Jenkins, feeding off one another. Ivy playing more off ball, a shooter, a scorer, a problem. They are a deeper basketball team than they were a year ago. John, if Isaiah Stewart plays, I think they beat the Knicks in the playoffs last year. I really do. And having that experience under their belt, and clearly it's powered them forward into this year. Yeah, man. Look, Tatum could come back and make things squirrely in the East, but the Pistons are the best team today in the Eastern Conference.
And I'm grateful for the Pistons for putting this game away early so that we could flip over, because they were on Peacock, and it does take a little effort to flip back to regular TV on FS1 to watch Michigan State play.
Yeah.
And so Michigan State was, I think the tip-off was like at 8:30.
Yes.
So, hey, the Pistons had this one in the bag. You get a chance to tip over, you know, look over there. And then I was also obviously looking at the FCS championship that was on last night, Montana State and Illinois State. So I'm still going to dip my toe in the football world.
Was that an OT game, by the way?
Oh yeah, it was OT. It was. There were some great moments in that game, and has watched it, but yeah, it went into OT, and it was a blocked field goal, and then it was, or a blocked extra point, and then it was the field goal to win it in OT. It was awesome.
Well, let's start getting to people on the phones. 248-539-9797. Got a team we can talk about on the hardwood. Paul in New Baltimore. You're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, you kind of took my thunder a little bit there, but yeah, they're deep. I mean, the Pistons, if you looked at it, they're they're not 7-8 guys deep. They're, you know, potentially 10-11 guys deep. And they're playing ball on both ends of the court. You're watching their three-point percentage start to go up, yeah. I would say, over the past couple weeks, which is a dangerous thing because they don't have to shoot a three if they keep playing defense the way they are. They can continue to kind of drive the basket, control the tempo of the game. I mean, Cade's playing amazing. And when you're missing two starters and, you know, arguably potentially your sixth man, and you're still able to put a whooping on New York the way that you did, I mean, it's just, it's a lot of fun to watch. Haven't gotten to see it in a very long time. And, you know, Stu, the way he's been playing defensively, it's one of those things where when time comes and Durant's back, you could have two bigs playing in the middle of the court, and you're going to have to force people to shoot from the outside. And I think it's going to be a great thing for us.
I think you're spot on. And Stewart even gets switched sometimes out into space, and he did a decent job when he's got switched onto Brunson a little bit. Think about what the Pistons have set up with this depth, where you can say Durin and Stu could play the entire game with one of them on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Thompson and Holland, you could play the entire game with one of them on the floor. When Cade leaves, they've gotten such a leap from Sasser and Danis Jenkins and Jaden Ivey that there's not really a big drop-off. I mean, there's a drop-off from Cade, but there's not a drop-off. Like, there's not a pocket of the game where the other team has a chance to make up ground or breathe or catch their breath.
Right, and you know, there's different levels of defense in regards to, you know, it's different for Ausar Thompson to play defense than it is Cade. But when Cade has a block against McBride at the rim, like, you know, everyone is involved. You're not just, hey, these are our defensive specialists. Everyone is playing on both ends of the floor.
Phone calls, texts, a lot to talk about with the Pistons. Love it. It's 97.1. Pistons with a 31-point win against the New York Knicks. That's a statement made. The best team in the East is in Detroit, and it's emphatic. It's definitive.
It is, and it's, I mean, that was a game that, you know, we earmarked at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we were able to all focus on it, nothing else, no distractions. It was the Knicks coming to town. We know what happened in the playoffs last year. And was this the playoffs? No. This was a mid-season game. But they did make a statement in that game.
Some of the response coming in on the text, and we have a bunch of phone calls, guys. People are paying attention. This is a good sign. We've got a lot of people invested in the Pistons, and they're certainly worth people's time. This one says, guys, I love what the Pistons are doing as much as I hate what the NBA's become. That said, the fact that they're on FanDuel really sucks. I'm not paying another $20 just to see a few games per month. Well, this is going to be the test. When our teams were winning, would people be willing to pay? Guys, anytime Brunson had the ball, instant boos. I was right by the opposing tunnel, trash-talking them. It was awesome to see the Knicks' spirit be just eliminated. Eladio and Wyandot.
Mm-hmm.
I love the shots of Spike Lee, sad courtside, or Brunson pouting when they went to TV timeout. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm mainly a football guy and a PGA Tour guy, but I will watch the Pistons and the Wings of the Tigers when they make runs.
Well, and here's the thing about going back to the text prior to that in regards to, I'm not a fan of the NBA either. I don't like the style that it has become. Hey, shoot some threes. You just stand around until somebody shoots a three, and then you go down to the other side of the court and then you do the same thing. The Pistons aren't that style. They are fun to watch. They're fast-paced. They play defense. They play, I don't want to say old school because it's not necessarily old school.
No.
It's just fun brand of basketball to watch.
You know, and with the Celtics playing well, and maybe they're going to be the challenge and not the Knicks.
Yeah.
And when Tatum comes back, who knows? But the philosophies are going to be greatly like matching up here in terms of three-point volume.
Yeah.
The Celtics are huge in three-point shooting volume.
Well, you mean they're opposites?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to see, well, is this going to, can you run this thing to the finals potentially playing a little bit less 3-point shooting basketball?
And even on the broadcast last night, pregame, Isaiah Thomas was talking about it. Like, yeah, they do need another shooter here in Detroit, but there's a clear philosophy where they don't rely on the three. They rely on their defense, transition buckets, points in the paint. They let Cade probe the defense and let the defense determine where the shot's going to come from. And if he can get to the cup, or he can throw an alley-oop, or they can get a high percentage shot, they're going to do it. Now, to become the best, well-rounded version of themselves, one more shooter would help. Yep.
So we were talking during the break. You want me to look up what's their 82 game pace? Their 82 game pace right now is 52-30. That's a little lower than I actually would have thought.
Yeah.
So I dug back in because there was a turning point last year.
January 1?
No, that's when Ivy got hurt.
Okay.
It was December 19th. They lost at home to Utah and they fell to 11-17. They went on a 7-1 stretch there leading up to this 80. So in their last 90 games, they're 59-31.
Okay.
It does a little more justice to the hot streak that they've been on. They're almost a 600 win pace in last 90 games.
Yeah, for over a year now, they've been playing a really good brand of basketball and getting better, by the way, because this year they've taken another step forward. Okay, 248-539-9797. Guys, have you seen the Pistons' record without Tobias Harris? They're 12-1. Better without Harris and LeVert, Robert, and Clarkston.
Well, I'm not going to sit there and say that they're going to make a run in the postseason without those guys. They've been able to sustain without some of their top players.
Agreed. He gives them some front court shooting.
Yeah.
I also would read into this stat and say he's a guy that could be part of a bigger trade.
As an expiring
contract?
Yeah,
and you go, we can win without him.
Let's get that shooter?
Yes. That's one way I would look into that. Let's get to the phones. TJ in Belleville, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Just wanted to chime in on the performance last night, man. I was really, really impressive from the Pistons. The two concerns I had going into that game didn't occur. And I think that, you know, when they play that brand of basketball consistently, it's going to be a real tough out in the East. The concerns that I have going forward is, you know, every game this season, they seem to go on this 3 or 4 minute scoring drought. Their defense usually backs them up, you know, it kind of keeps them in the game. But in this league, like a 10 point lead is nothing. So, you know, you go on a 3-4 minute scoring drought. They hit a couple of threes, now all of a sudden they're down four and they're rolling, you know. So that was one of my concerns, and that just didn't happen last night. So it was good to see. Last thing, man, before I jump off here, I grew up, I was a huge I idolized Grant Hill, man. I loved the guy when he was drafted here. Heartbroken when he left. I actually got a chance to tell him that last year when I met him. Cade Cunningham reminds me so much of Grant Hill, just the way that he carries himself, the way that he controls the game. It's really, really good to see, man. It's good to have another superstar on the Pistons moving forward. That's all I got, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, I mean, there are similarities in their games. Bigger shot creating players.
Yeah.
Three level scorers. Yeah, there's a little bit of that. I see that. I mean, is Cade the single best player we've had since Grant Hill? I mean, they won the 04 title with a collection of all-stars. Even all-stars. But I think the level Cade is at is higher than the level that like a Rip or a Chauncey were at.
I would think so.
Okay. I don't know if they'd be blasphemous because Mabry loves those guys and they want a title.
I mean, Cade Cunningham is a top three MVP candidate right now.
Right.
And none of those guys on that team were.
Yeah. So the best player since Grant Hill.
At least.
At least. You could say best since Isaiah.
Yeah, I mean, I think he deserves it. And he could go down as the best ever. It's way too early to start doing that. And he's got to hang some banners.
Yeah.
But overall game, I don't know if I've seen a better Piston.
Yeah, wow. Let's get to Martin in Detroit. Martin, a lot to talk about. You're on 97.1.
Hey, what's up, Cookies? How you doing, John?
Hey, good morning.
What's up?
Hey, man, you hit it right on the money, man. They are deep, man. When I look at the Javonte Green, and I think he scored like close to 20, and then even Dennis Jenkins scored 25 the other day. And if you look at Jaden Ivey, he only been averaging 15 or 20 minutes a game, and he scored like 16 points. And I still think he's going to be like their second option. They're just not playing them because, you know, they want him to get, you know, back into the groove of things. They don't want him to get re-injured, but this team is deep. You might be right. They might go 8 or 10 deep.
Yeah, I think so. And the reason, I mean, they've been able to develop that depth as well, sometimes because they've had to with Cade or Durin or various guys being out. Other guys have stepped in. Dennis Jenkins being, you know, maybe one of the top names that has stepped in and stepped up when called upon.
Yeah, and like Ivy right now, I don't have an issue with his role, and maybe it does grow into more minutes, but last night he was part of that second unit. He had 16 points in 22 minutes. He's cutting without the ball. He's knocking down 3-point shots, which helps space the floor. We talked about needing a shooter. It'd be nice if that was, you know, Jaden Ivey has another gear.
Well, and what was the concern? It, when Jaden Ivey comes back, can he and Cade play together? And now it's all up to JB to work that chemistry. And it feels like he's working him into a perfect role.
248-539-9797. We asked you the question, have you flipped the switch? Are you in basketball mode now? And last night was a great way to get into basketball season. It's 97.1.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
New York Post headline today, Knicks inexcusable no-show comes with hard to ignore realities. One of those hard to ignore realities is the East goes through Detroit. Are you comfortable with that statement? 248-539-9797. Jason on Twitter says, it's a little too early. We all remember what happened last year when everybody started predicting the Tigers would win the Central. Arvell tweets us and says, true. Is there any lesson to be learned with what the Tigers did? Is there any relevant comparison, or are they completely apples and oranges? Doesn't matter.
I think it's apples and oranges, different sports, different teams, different rosters. I think the Pistons roster top to bottom is outstanding. I don't think the Tigers roster top to bottom is outstanding. I think the Tigers roster had an outstanding starting pitcher and a few really good players. And then, you know, some mediocrity sets in. Maybe they
had
the
a lot of role players.
Maybe they had
a high
role player. Yeah, maybe they had a high basement, but a high floor. But yeah, the Pistons roster is great.
Let's go to Andrew in Detroit. You're on 97.1. Hi, Andrew.
What's going on, fellas? Without question, the East goes to Detroit.
Come on.
Because let's call it what it is. The East is not that good and that competitive a conference. The only other team we really got to worry about are the Heat and the Knicks. So with that said, I believe we have a better roster than the Knicks, a better team. The difference between the Tigers and the Pistons is, with the Tigers, you got your starting pitcher, but he only pitches, once every five games or something like that. With K, he's in there every game, unless, you know, he's out for injury or whatever. But you have a consistent, steady roster. Now, the only thing I would prefer a big man, a forward that we can trust a little bit more with the scoring. I'm not a big fan of Tobias. I think he's too up and down, very not consistent. So if we can find a consistent four, there's nobody that should be able to beat us out east without question.
Well, the trade deadline is going to be fascinating because I think the Pistons have a roster that screams the least to make a trade out of all the Detroit teams, but the situation may scream the most to make a trade. And what I mean by that is they've got such a young core. If they just keep the band together, I feel like there is a good chance that this group, if not this year, eventually is going to be in a good position for a 5-6 year stretch in the East. Like if you trade for a win now player, I don't have an issue with that. But they're already playing like the best team in the East. All those other teams that I mentioned, if they get healthy, they may bring Detroit down, but they're also much older. We did the average age thing last year with the Celtics and the Pacers and the Knicks, and Detroit was so much younger than everybody else that the motivation to keep the band back together and just run this conference for a good period of time is there. It's there. But you're not going to make a trade at the trade deadline to get what he asked for or to get, you know, what we've had, Michael Porter Jr. and we've had Lauri Markkanen. You're not going to make one of those moves without giving up one and probably two young pieces that are part of, that are contributing now. So, it's an interesting spot Trajan Langdon's in. Trajan Langdon, I'm not going to say we know him, okay? But we've talked to him a couple times. We've had him on the show. We don't know him.
I'm glad you didn't say that.
No, I'm not saying it. But he seems like a steady.
He is focused.
Yep. And but
doesn't get too high or too low.
I don't think he's going for headlines.
No, he's just putting together a roster that's, you know, best in the Eastern Conference at this point. One of the best rosters in all of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
The Athletic came out with their power rankings, and the Pistons are number two. And this is before last night's game. I mean, they're getting some respect. They actually were among the top headlines on ESPN.com today for what they did to the Knicks. So they're starting to get
story some... about, was it about the sorry, I'm going to get super cynical here.
No, I didn't
understand. Was it about the Pistons, or was it more like, what's going on with the Knicks?
Well, the headline... It's more about the Knicks. It says, drubbed in Detroit, skidding Knicks seek answers.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we were the supporting actor in that story.
Sure, but we'll take it. At least you're starting to get some kind of notice, although it's because a New York team was involved. But I think it's starting to tilt a little bit. I'd love for the Pistons to go out there and get a sharpshooter that can really lift this team. I worry about the chemistry, and I don't want to mess with the chemistry on this team.
Yep.
But I trust Trajan Langdon to get it done. I think Trajan Langdon's made some great additions to this team. And I heard somebody bring this up in the morning show as I was driving in, talking about, you know, the solution is simple. The solution is Malik Beasley. If he's cleared, that's a guy you put right back on the roster. He knocks down 3-point shots. If that's what they're missing, that's a guy. And I understand that. But the further and further we get into the season, and he hasn't been completely cleared yet, you know, yeah, I have time to get him ready to go and acclimated. And I think that takes more than just a couple weeks. I think because you got to worry, how does he fit into a rotation? And so I don't know. They've got some things to work out if they want to add another player to this team. And I imagine they're going to try to add players to this team.
Scott writes in, I cringe a little when you say that, especially after what happened to the Lions in the playoffs last year and the Tigers down the stretch. It's barely January.
Well, even though I do bring up the jinx factor in things, I think we can all agree that what Doug has to say has no bearing on how the Pistons are going to play basketball or how the rest of the league is. He can be chesty about it. He can feel chesty. What's the harm in it? Is the harm that you get let down if they don't do something special?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. So here's the thing about it is bringing up the Lions and the Tigers, is it completely irrelevant? No, I don't think it's completely irrelevant. It speaks to how, you know, things change over the course of seasons. Seasons are very long. Anything that's said about the Pistons right now that's definitive always comes with a caveat as long as they're healthy. And part of the reason I feel comfortable saying this, and I don't think it's like a huge amount on some real long limb here, is that those other teams aren't, but fully cognizant of how injuries can change things. Because the fact of the matter is, what happened to the Lions in the playoffs last year when they went 15-2 in the regular season, the part that gets overlooked is the miracle that it was to get to 15-2 despite all the injuries they had. I mean, they went 15-2 and they were shredded.
Yeah.
Now they go to the playoffs. They don't play close to perfect everywhere else, which is kind of what they did to get to 15-2. And those injuries and all their warts got exposed. So as long as they stay healthy, and seasons are long and lots can change, but a shorthanded Pistons team clowned on the Knicks. And I think Isaiah Stewart's impact on the defensive end and the ability to block shots impacted the Knicks' shot selection.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that, you know, the rebounding in the second half, I didn't even see how many offensive rebounds the Pistons finished with, but I bet it was a ton. And I bet their second chance points were a ton. Are you comfortable saying that the road to the East goes through Detroit?
Pistons had 14 offensive rebounds. The Knicks had 5.
Okay. There you go. So
that's the difference there. Yeah, it's great to see Isaiah Stewart blocking shots like crazy. It's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Had 2 more blocks last night. Had 3 offensive rebounds last night. Paul Reed had 5 offensive rebounds last night, you know, coming in and having to do a spot start because of Jalen Duren being out. And it's not just those guys playing defense. I mean, you also know that you can sick the hounds on any team, and it's here comes Asar Thompson and Ron Holland. Good luck.
Mm-hmm. So the Pistons missed 39 shots last night. When they missed a shot, they got 14 of those 39 rebounds. The Knicks had 25. That is a comfortable place you are in when you're getting 2 out of every 5 offense. Every shot that you miss, 2 out of every 5, you're getting the offensive rebound. That's a really, really good place to be. Did I get that ratio right?
I'm not sure I did.
No, I don't think I did. 3 out of every 8? Whatever it is. You're rebounding a lot.
Yeah, well, you're rebounding, and you're blocking them. They had 11 blocks last night on 76 shots from the Knicks. So you work that percentage, and it's pretty good that, you know, when more than 10% of your shots that go up are getting knocked down.
248-539-9797. This Piston team is the real deal. They have been so much fun to watch this year. Our roster runs deep. It's exciting stuff. Evan in Ann Arbor says, I was at the game last night, and yes, there was definitely an FU Brunson chant. Okay, I thought so. Texts are coming in confirming that. Thank you, John and Lake Orion. You also confirmed it. JB is a mastermind. Depth, boys, depth. Fun city. Boys, that game last night was like Michael Irving taking off his belt after the Hurricanes beat Ohio State. From an unnamed texter to the East.
He was pretty happy.
Yes, he was. I think he's probably aware the cameras are on him.
Oh. When you make Ray Lewis look calm in a celebration,
right?
You're pretty excited.
From an unnamed texter, the East does go through Detroit this year. The Pistons crush the Jalen Brunsons without 2 starters and a key reserve. That should scare the rest of the East. Chris and Ken, yeah, there were definitely a few Brunson chants. I thought so. 248-539-9797. Great night at LCA. Are you comfortable with the statement that the East runs through Detroit? In the meantime, the MVP chance for Cade and the Pistons' odds to win the East, the latest update straight ahead at 10:31. Definitive statement win last night at LCA, 97-1. Hello and welcome to the Carson Anderson program. It is noontime on a Tuesday. Glad to be with you. And Scott, the Pistons sent a message to the NBA last night, specifically to the Eastern Conference. And I ask you, Detroit, when your Piston team beats a Knicks team by 30, 31, I think to be exact, last night and turn it into a laugher, like they were clowning on them. Bench guys were all involved, which shouldn't come as a surprise. Pistons are a deep team. But, I mean, they completely clowned on the Knicks. The question is, are you comfortable with this statement? Knicks, Cavs, Pacers, Celtics, your time is over. The East goes through Detroit. Is that, in your estimation, an established fact that the East goes through Detroit? 248-539-9797. Gator, do you consider it an established fact? Now, flag is planted. The East goes through Detroit.
I think for this season, absolutely. I think that is an established fact. It changes next year if guys get healthy. And as we stand right now, like before trades happen, yeah, I think it goes to Detroit. And if I were to go ahead and if I want to plant a flag, and I like planting the flag, I'll plant that flag. Eastern Conference goes to Detroit.
Kang, is it a statement of fact the East goes through Detroit now?
For the 25-26 season, it goes to Detroit. I think they just proved it last night with a 30-point belt-ass whooping to the second seed. On a back-to-back, by the way, the Pistons are on a second night of a back-to-back without two players in Caris LeVert and Tobias Harris. They're running out there 10, 11 guys deep. I know 12 guys played last night because it was such a blowout, but they actually have 10 guys legit contributing to this team on a night-in, night-out basis. I think they are the best team in the East, and they just proved that last night.
Jalen Duren?
Jalen Duren, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he's kind of important, too.
Yeah. And that game last night, look, there was great defensive efforts. They blocked a bunch of shots early. By the way, did anybody see Javonte Green run up the basket support like Bo Jackson did? Javonte Green, it was fast break, and I can't remember what happened at the end, but he like took two or three steps.
I think he got fouled on a fast break or something, going in for a layup or something, and he couldn't stop his momentum, so he ran up the basket. I saw that. Ever since you said in games you watch he wasn't that good, he's been great.
But there's no question. There is no question.
Unbelievable. 4-6-3 last night.
Javonte Green, we got off to a bad start, Javonte and I. But
yeah, you did.
Ever since, you're right. I swear to God, the day I brought it up on the air, you know, a lot works out here, but I'm just not so sure about this Javonte Green. Boom. He's like contributed in so many ways.
Super sub.
I would love to hear Javonte come out and say, maybe he has, I didn't get off to the best start here. I'm glad I'm fitting in. I'd love to hear him say that. I don't think he's going to, but he's been great.
What if he comes out and says, you know, ever since Doug Karsh questioned me. Here's one of the things I like about last night's game. First of all, everything you like about last night's game, right? But they had three guys come off the bench, three guards come off the bench, whether it was Javonte Green, Danis Jenkins, or Jaden Ivey, that all contributed big time to the cause.
Mm-hmm.
They have the ability to just kill you with a guard rotation. The Pistons do when they're playing like that. And last night was near flawless. But you have to keep in mind, they played without Tobias Harris, starter. They played without Jalen Duren, starter. And they played without Caris LeVert, who's also a big-time contributor off the bench. But they just, it didn't matter. Paul Reed steps in. I'll get the job done. I'll grab offensive rebounds. I'll score when needed. Okay. I mean, other guys just step up.
Usually I speak the language of it's a long season. A lot can happen. And yet I feel like this Piston team, it started last year. It's continued into this year. There was a time where we thought that the Tigers were the best team in the American League. And I think there's probably a time that we, not all of us, but there were a lot of us uncomfortably felt that the Lions were the best team in the NFC. And those things did not work out at all. One of them, obviously the Tigers won a playoff series and then a heartbreak in the second round of the playoffs, the divisional series, and the Lions didn't make the playoffs. I think the Pistons are going to make the playoffs.
Okay.
But I guess the question is, you know, is it too early to say it? You get paid to call your shots. Not really, but you get in your group of friends. Think about the street cred you get when you call something early.
Sure.
Is it too early to say this? Maybe you've called it a while ago. Maybe it's late to call it.
They're almost halfway through the season.
They killed the Knicks last night. They killed them. Now, the Vegas odds haven't reflected this. By the way, as we pointed out earlier, they're still the third favorite in the East on FanDuel.
Well, that should be changed.
Well, jump on it now.
After the Pistons destroyed the Knicks last night. But in honor of Pat Caputo.
Our guy.
The Pistons have a better record than Steve Carlton did when he won a Cy Young in 1972. Okay? You know, he was 27-10 for the Phillies. Had almost 50% of the Phillies' wins all season long. Okay? 27-9. That's what the record is. 36. I got the math right. 36 games, and they're 27-9.
Yep.
It's insane. This isn't a small sample size. This is nearly half a season.
Now, I brought it up earlier, and it got some response. We have Detroit fans, Red Wings, Tigers, and Lions fans have seen trade deadlines come and go without major moves. Like the Red Wings, people wanted them to give it gas last year. They didn't. Their season came apart after March. The Tigers made a few moves on the fringes of the roster, ended up getting really one player that was probably counted on in Kyle Farnsworth. Yeah, the reliever. Then you get to the Lions, and the Lions didn't do anything significant. And now we have a Piston team where I think...
Finnegan.
Sorry. God, I knew that wasn't right. Kyle Farnsworth.
Going with the FUP plan?
Yeah, the Farnsworth thing.
I don't know. Percival, where we go?
The years blend together. My apologies to Kyle Finnegan. It was Kyle Farnsworth, right?
Yeah, well, it was. Big guy, built like a linebacker.
Wanted to beat up half the batters he faced. Yeah, that guy. No, my apologies. Anyway, you get the point. Now we have a Piston team that I think has a roster that is less, probably in a position where you'd be less inclined to make a trade. And why I say that is because they're poised to really run the East. We did the average age of contributors last year when we went into the postseason. And the Pistons were way younger than every other team in the East that was really going for it. And the Pistons right now are the top team in the East, given, obviously, with Halliburton out and Tatum out in Indiana and Boston, that dramatically impacts the chase in the East. No question. But if you keep the band together, do you run the East for half a decade? Or do you need to go for it now? And I feel like Detroit fans want some team to give it gas, but what the others did should have no impact on what Trajan Langdon decides is best for this team. But the idea, because here's what you're going to give up. If you're going to make a significant trade, you're going to give up Ron Holland, and you're probably going to give up Jaden Ivey, and you're going to give up Tobias Harris. And those are three guys that play a lot of minutes and have factored into the chemistry and all of the things that have made this team good. Right?
This is what I'm saying. You want to improve this team. It's a really good best team in the East right now. If you want to add a piece to it, you have to be concerned with what you're going to have to give up to get that piece because of the chemistry factor. I'm not saying you don't do it, but that's what you have to be leery of. It would be amazing if they could simply find that piece and only give up draft capital or players that aren't, you know, huge contributors for the team right now. That would be great if they could do that.
248-539-9797. A lot to unpack with that Piston win last night. What stood out to you, and are you comfortable with the statement? Is it, at this time, an established fact that the East goes through Detroit? 248-539-9797. I know better than to do something, but later this hour, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it on the air, and I'm going to do it publicly, and you're going to say we shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Oh, boy.
That today at 1246. On 97.1.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit NationalDebtRelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
All right, thank you, Update Kid. It is Carson Anderson, 1235.
There you go.
Who's on top? We haven't done one of these in a while. We got a top 10 list. One that I think that just about everybody will have an opinion on. And Gator, I might just give you one guess because I think you'll do very well with this one.
Okay.
It's right in your wheelhouse. We'll see. 1235 for who's on top. In the meantime, we've been taking some calls on the Lions mostly, but the Pistons talk is certainly something we got into at the beginning of the show and love talking about our basketball team, which is now four games on top of the Eastern Conference. And, you know, the Pistons just take it to the Bulls. They run away from the Bulls. It was a close game. Bulls, in fact, were leading early, but no Cade, no Durin, no Tobias Harris, and they get 30 points from Beef Stew.
31.
He's out there dropping threes. You know, the typical putback stuff, but
dunking everywhere.
Yeah. Fun to watch.
It was fun to watch. Dennis Jenkins, that had the 15 assists in the game. Paul Reed getting it done everywhere. He had six assists as a big man dishing it off. And the team shot well as a team. They didn't get many free throws. Didn't need them. And played without Cade Cunningham, Jalen Duren, and Tobias Harris. And they're fine. This is a really good basketball team. Now, are the Bulls good? No. No. But when you're going to be depleted, you still got to win those games. In fact, you have to win those games. That's a sign of a good team, is that you can play without some of your best players and still beat teams in the league. The record now, 28-9 on the season, is awfully good. And they just continue to validate what they've done. And I like watching this team. Keep saying it. They're a different team to watch. This isn't, you know, the Piston team we saw 5 years ago. This is a really good Pistons team. They've been built correctly. They've tweaked this roster. They've added an incredible amount of depth. They have depth at the guard position. So much. They're like five deep at the guard position.
It's crazy. You know, you mentioned Dennis Jenkins. And yesterday we were kind of laughing about how we try not to blow off any signings that, you know, you see and you go, ah, it's nothing. And you just kind of ignore it. And we did it because we like the name Birch. There was the Tigers signed a minor league pitcher named Birch Smith. But at one point, the Tigers signed, you know, like a minor league guy named JD Martinez. Maybe we should start using Dennis Jenkins as an example of a signing that didn't move the needle at all. wasn't going to be a topic on talk radio, would only get a bullet point in a Piston beat writer's story. Hey, Piston signed Dennis Jenkins to a two-way contract. Like that, it's not something that creates headlines at all. No. And now he's acting like he's an all-star scorer.
It feels like each team has had guys like that, but this is a good strike for the Pistons. They're on a bunch of good strikes lately.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember saying, hey, the Pistons signed this Dennis Jenkins. Do you remember ever saying that?
No.
Did we ever say that?
No, I think we
said that. Is that a hole in our game? No. Is that our bad?
Sure.
Or is that everybody's bad?
Well, we'll own ours.
Yeah.
And we didn't promote it like it was some big thing.
Sankofa, were you all over this? Did you know it was coming? Kang, did you know Dennis Jenkins was going to do this? Do you remember when he signed? Did you pump your fist and say, hell yeah?
He's on a two-way contract. The Pistons didn't know he was going to be this good. All of a sudden, he thinks he's Allen Iverson, and he's closer than I thought. He goes out there and plays like he is the best guy in the court, and you should have that confidence, but I swear, when I look at him, he'll go to the lane, he'll kick it out, he's throwing balls to, like, he just knows guys are going to be there. It's amazing. It's unbelievable.
He's been incredible.
Story, man.
He threw one away last night, and it turned out it went off a defender. But he throws it, and he's, like, standing there, like, just, posed. And I'm like, is he, like, surprised that he turned the ball over? Is that what this is? What's going on here? But, indeed, it went off a defender and out of bounds. I think nobody tell him. Shh. Nobody tell him he's not Allen Iverson. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Allie in Plymouth here on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up, Allie? Is it Ali? Hello.
You in the car.
Ali.
All right. Oh, sorry. Did you want to?
Yeah. No good. 248-539-9797. Feedback coming in. I'd love to hear Brad Holmes talk about addressing a Rudge Escher opposite a Hutch. He wrote Rudge Escher. Bravo. Yeah, so Rudge Escher opposite a Hutch. But based on previous years, I'd be stunned if he did. That would be admitting he was wrong, and I don't see that happening. That's from Matt in Madison Heights.
Well, they had a guy who had 11 sacks this year opposite of Hutchinson in Al-Kadeem Muhammad.
Yep.
So I'm not saying they're done because Al-Kadeem Muhammad's a free agent, and you're going to have to pay him if you want to get him. I'm assuming that the texter is looking more towards go get Trey Hendrickson, make an offer to get Max Crosby. If he's unhappy with the Raiders and he can get out, then go get him. Go get one of those guys. Go get Jalen Phillips. But meanwhile, the least expensive guy at a bunch would be Al-Kadeem Muhammad.
Yep.
Those guys are all going to cost you probably north of $20 million. Muhammad will cost you maybe north of $10 million. And he earned it this past year with the 11 sacks. I think we forget that, my God, that's a pretty good total.
Yep.
Can they go after one of these other guys? Maybe they can, but it doesn't seem like financially they can. Is that where the real priority is? If you had to prioritize players in this team, I'm looking at offensive line first, not the Rudge Escher.
Yeah, I'm
edge rusher, as people commonly call him.
Yes, but you once accidentally referred to as a Rudge Escher, which was perfect. And I thought, wow, you've really outdone yourself. And then you came up with Munch of Marth.
Yeah, Munch of Marth. Yeah.
As the Red Wings issue the last couple of years has been the Munch of Marth. From Gary, we have a solid core of players. This is our time. Over the next 2 years, we're going to go all in to acquire any player that can help us win a Super Bowl within that two-year window. Any repercussions to the future of the team beyond this window will be irrelevant. This is my goal. That's from Gary. What he wants Brad Holmes to say.
Well, that'd be cool to hear because it's a sense of urgency and we've got a window of opportunity. We're going to take advantage of that window.
Steven,
it may be painful down the road, but for the next few years, we're going for it.
Steven Shelby said, I would like to admit he should have done more at the trade deadline. I mean, look, I think trade, ripping people for trades they didn't make is a difficult thing to do. I know people wanted offensive line help, and I did too. One offensive lineman got moved. He was a middling offensive lineman with a history of injuries and penalties. And, you know, we don't know what the asking price was for a Benito or a Zeitler. And I can see why those teams didn't want to trade him. They had young quarterbacks that they want to protect. And you can't Madden override something and just Betonio, yes. You can't Madden override something and just say, Cleveland, give us Betonio. Tennessee, give us Zeitler. They don't want to trade him, but hey, got it.
But there was that one trade the Chargers made that we know what the draft capital was, and maybe someone can ask Brad Holmes if they were they knew about that, you know, was the price too
high? But again, that's the guy that I said was middling, who had a penalty and injury history.
Yeah, but I mean, fans were pretty desperate. I'm not sure upper management was desperate at the time. So,
well, as Bill, we like to say, if you do the other thing, you never know that it didn't work. If you don't do the other thing, you never know that it didn't work. Seems weird to say, but I wouldn't want Mike McDaniel because I would expect him to be a head coach by next season. Is it wrong that I want an OC for more than one season? No, Johnny, it's not. But it's an all-in move to win next year. I want Holmes to say the future is now. Our goal is to win the Super Bowl this year. He might say that.
I think the goal to win the Super Bowl is every year. I think that's what every general manager, every coach, every player will tell you. That's our goal
in
the Super Bowl. Unless you're, you know, obviously not have no shot at it.
What could he say that would make you say, there you go, Brad. That's what I'm talking about.
My man.
248-539-9797. We'll get to your phone calls and feedback next. Coming up today at 12:35, another edition of Who's on Top. A little bit later on, we'll figure out who we want to win the Super Bowl. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1. Hello, welcome to the Carson Anderson program. Hope everybody's doing well on a Thursday. I am Doug Karsh. That is Scott Anderson. Hi, Scott Anderson.
Hi, Doug Karsh.
How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
That's good. You have anything exciting happen in the Gator household on a Wednesday?
I can't say it was anything exciting that happened in the Gator household on Saturday. There really wasn't.
On Saturday?
I'm sorry, on Wednesday.
Right.
Wow.
So what'd you do?
I'm jumping ahead.
It felt like a Saturday.
Yeah, huh? You're right. It was just, you know, basketball with the Pistons, watching some of that. And a lot of flipping around. It's one of those where you flipped around a lot, and I can't remember really what I landed on.
Ah, meaningful night indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Pistons had, it almost doesn't matter who's on the floor.
I guess not.
Apparently. I mean, look, the Bulls aren't great. But still. I mean, Chance Lanier didn't play like the whole month of December. He comes in bombing threes. They're making a run in the second half with Paul Reed. Please tell me you saw the Paul Reed teardrop.
Oh, the one that launched it like 10 feet above the basket. Well, the one where
Paul Reed suddenly turned into this 1950s white Indiana country basketball player with that goofy. That was so funny. It was straight out of Hoosiers, man. It was like a free throw line layup.
They ran the picket fence.
But Paul Reed's on the floor. Chaz Lanier is on the floor. Danis Jenkins is on the floor.
Paul Reed, I think, was second on the team in assists. He had six. He was running point forward, Paul Reed.
And they were running away from the Bulls.
It's gone to the point, guys, where I've never seen Paul Reed have a bad game. Ever. Like, every time I watch him.
You know who's...
Like, 1998 Kevin Garnett.
Right. And you know who's great? And I kind of sensed it from moment one is Javonte Green.
You knew, Doug. You saw it before everybody else.
It's so funny. Yeah. I swear to God, the first 10 games that I saw him play, I'm like, this guy's a total waste. Why'd they waste a roster spot on this guy? And ever since I brought it up on the air, he's been lights out in his role.
He's been great. Playing with one shoe, doesn't care.
Nope.
He looks like they picked him up from, like, you know, Lifetime Fitness. Like, honestly, like, he was the best player at Lifetime Fitness by far.
Hey, we need one. Yeah. I got you. All right.
All right.
Cool. Dude, you're just running tonight against the Bulls.
I'm like dying at how much Javonte Green is making me look stupid. I mean, look, games I watched is a very important metric.
It's a huge stat.
Yeah. And at the beginning of the season, you have to understand, in the middle of Lions season and Michigan season, it's hard to catch every game. So you're kind of parachuting in when you can because there's other stuff going on that is more timely, the beginning of the NBA season opposed to the middle and the heart of the college football and NFL season. But so whenever I watched at the beginning of the year, I swear Javonte Green never played well, and now he never plays poorly. And they just, you know, after the game, they talk to Beef Stew, and he's just like, we're just dogs, man. And I'm like, yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe they're all dogs.
I don't know. The dogs are hungry. 31 points for Beef Stew last night. 15 assists for Danis Jenkins. Paul Reed throwing him in from wherever. It didn't matter. You mentioned Chaz Lanier. I mean, everybody stepping up and contributing. Yeah, you know, Asar and Ron Holland, I think both had like identical stat lines, both with 11 points in the game. And it was, it was a really nice performance from a team that needed it because no Cade, no Jalen Duren, no Tobias Harris. You know, those are, three of your top four scoring options?
Mm-hmm.
Impressive.
And so the Pistons rolled out like the Motor City Crews, their G League team, and beat the Bulls. Ish, I mean, they're not. I don't mean to be insulting, but
no, this is why one of the reasons I really like this team. There's depth on this team, and the depth should be able to land you somebody in a trade of substance that could even solidify the rotation even more. But they have to be careful. They got to be careful with what they're willing to give up and any kind of disruption of chemistry. Because this team, what are they now? 29-8? 29-8?
Yeah.
And they're not at the halfway
point. 28-9.
Sorry, 28-9. Okay. They're not at the halfway point yet.
No, math would dictate that they are just shy.
And on pace for like 58 wins or something? That's crazy.
Yep. Yep. Wasn't that long ago. And it's funny because I was watching the beginning of the game last night. It wasn't going as well. And the Bulls started, Cade's out and Jalen Duren's out and the Bulls get out to a 6 or 8 point lead or whatever it was. And I watch it and I'm going, okay, this is out of character. But again, look who's on the floor and it's kind of understandable. And then they just turn back into the full throttle Pistons where they don't look shorthanded at all, even though they're clearly shorthanded. So good for them.
Yeah.
It's one of those nights where you saw the roster and you're like, all right, it's a forgivable loss. Like if the Pistons had lost, you'd be like, I get it. But they don't give up losses like that. They don't white flag it ever. I call these like culture wins. Like whoever's wearing the jersey is just going to show up because that's how good the culture is right now. Dennis Jenkins, someone hasn't told him he's not the best point guard in the league because that's how high of a confidence he's playing right now.
Right? Nobody tell him. Nobody tell Paul Reed. Reed doesn't know he's not Kevin Garnett.
These guys play like they more than belong.
Yeah.
Like they're going to win the game.
So the Hawks trade Trae Young to the Wizards. I mean, how does this impact the Pistons, right? Everything spins back to how does it impact us? Well, he didn't go to like Milwaukee or he didn't go to...
Went to one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah. If look, I can't stand the way he plays the game, but the idea of him going to a contender was the one thing that...
He's a difference maker player.
Mm-hmm.
Awful as he is to watch because of the constant, drawing fouls. That's all he tries to do. And yet he knocks down shots. He distributes the basketball. He's a really good player. He's just annoying in his style of play.
So there's two things that come out of this. One is, you may recall a few weeks ago, the Pistons played the Hawks and Trae Young was out injured. And I had this weird epiphany that I actually really liked the rest of the Hawks roster. I was like, this is a really good young team. Like I could get behind this group. Two is, hey, Hawks fans out there. And I don't know if we have one Atlanta Hawks fan that listens to this show, but now it's okay for you to talk about how annoying Trae Young is. Now it's okay. You can now admit that he plays the game in a very unlikable way.
Very irritating.
You can go ahead and admit it now.
It'd be interesting to hear what they say about him when he returns with Washington to take on Atlanta. But yes, I like where your head's at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead and be upset about it.
Yep. But anyway, Pistons were great. Doesn't matter who's on the floor. Chaz Lanier.
Rookie's got to play.
I know, right? Do it okay. And no Cade last night. And 4-game lead in the East. And now we get trade deadline stuff, right? I mean, it's going to become a bigger storyline with each passing week leading up to the trade deadline. And
well, I mean, there are some monster pieces that could be moved that could really change organizations in a heartbeat. What Milwaukee decides to do with Giannis is huge. Do they decide to hang on to him and build around him, or are they going to trade him? And if they trade him, they'll trade others. And be very aware of who he gets traded to if that happens, because that team just added an absolute superstar to the mix, even though he's getting older by the day. But I think that's the key in the East to see what happens with Giannis. It might be the key in basketball now that Trae Young has moved and what's going to happen next? What's the next big move? I mean, Anthony Davis is a big name, but is Anthony Davis still a big player? Can you count on him to play every game down the stretch? Not likely.
You linked a ESPN story about trades.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't know if you want to, do you care about what the Pistons are
about? No, okay. I thought was strange that I'm like, what are the Pistons? Because I'm looking at this trade that was proposed, and I said to myself, what are the Pistons giving up in this trade?
It's a three-team trade where they don't give up anything. They take on Cole Anthony and cut him. So they're really...
And they get cash considerations
do
so.
They waive him. But what in this story by ESPN, the Lakers actually move on from Dalton Connect, who's a player I've always liked, and you know isn't having a great year here for the Lakers. And if he's available, coming off the rookie year that he had, I would be... I'd be interested in whether or not Dalton Connect can be had for the right price.
Well, they also have, I believe, Michael Porter Jr. getting moved, but not to the Pistons. We discussed the move with Michael Porter Jr. to the Pistons yesterday, which was very intriguing.
Yeah.
And, of course, you'd have to give up something to get it. But then looking at what was given up, I'm like, do they have to give up that much? We'll see.
Well, what were the particulars of that trade? I'm scrolling through it, and I'm not seeing, how am I missing on this? Because they have like all these proposed trades, and I'm not seeing. It's the trade that has the Pistons getting Cole Anthony and releasing him.
Yeah.
So it's Kyle Kuzma, Taron Price, and a first round pick. Yeah, I mean, I think the Pistons could get Michael Porter Jr. I think they could get him, and if they can, I hope that they do. I don't want to see him traded for something that doesn't. Well, look. I'm going to trust in Trajan here for a minute, mm-hmm. but he's earned that.
I feel like if the Pistons do nothing, I'm okay with it.
Are you?
Well, they're a 28-9 basketball team.
Do you not know what the Red Wings, Tigers, and Lions didn't do, and that means the Pistons better do it? Don't you know?
I do.
What are you, new?
I do. I get it.
You just feed into the narratives that are GMs.
But I would also say this. I'd be surprised if they just sat on their hands and did nothing. I think there'll be some tweaking going.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Get it? With the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.